What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths. Or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's about to be the 15-year anniversary of The Fan, and that's nice because I think we're still playing the song I came on the first show, Limits. Can we please change the music? I love your hat. It's a 79 Pirates hat. It's a We Are Tommy Family hat, isn't it?
That's right.
It really is. It's so tremendous. I love it. It's got stars on it. Weird, because it sort of jibes with my opening topic. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. Pomp out today. I believe back tomorrow.
Yes.
That's my understanding.
And Thursday.
And just looking at you in that hat, first of all, is this weather not like chronically depressing? It looks like some scene from some horrifying, like a horror movie, or which most horror movies are horrifying. That's the way they're designed, right, Limits?
I'm going to turn this back around and ask about your well-being, because I feel like it's not very good looking at the weather.
No, it is. It's actually pretty good today, but the weather is a challenge these days. I mean, it's yeah. Bleak. Bleak is what I'm saying. It's just like you look out on the landscape and it's just trees with no leaves and dead grass and wind blowing in your face and freezing cold every day. I swear every time I leave here or leave my house and get in my car, because you have to sit on a block of ice before it warms up. So there's all kinds of swear words. I don't deal with this well. I want to be wrong. Can I do the show from Florida, do you think?
Maybe.
I would love to. I really would. Does the weather get to you? A lot of people get depressed during this time of year.
Yeah, February is probably my least favorite month.
Do you get angry at the weather or other inanimate objects?
When I like rush out to my car and I'm like speed walking to my car, and then I have to sit there and it's colder than it actually is outside before the car actually warms up. I'm just sick and tired of it by now, because we're 4 months in with cold weather, November, December, January, March, it starts to warm up.
Is this the longest winter, the coldest one we've had since when? Last winter, I was out playing golf all the time.
And we had no snow last winter, or the winter before.
Yes, 40 degrees is my threshold, and I never get out there now, and it's just, it's viciously cold every day. And I'm from Buffalo. I don't know if you've heard that. We used to swim naked in the lake in weather like this.
With naked basketball.
But I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of cold weather. Are you?
I am out of the era where I would wear shorts waiting for the bus stop at like a sophomore in high school. I'm trying to be a fake tough guy. I'm over this. I'm ready for the spring weather to come back.
So am I. Funny you should be wearing that hat today. And I hope my voice holds up, because I've had the same problem in my upper respiratory system now for 4 months, but at this point, who cares, right? I loved the Pirates as a kid. My first sports memory, literally, maybe my first life memory, is the 1971 World Series. I was 6 years old. My dad was a professor of European history, specializing in Soviet history. So he had a little study, we called it, a little room with all these books that I could never understand. Although he was just a normal guy. He wasn't like some sort of, intellectual. He was a Brooklyn guy. But he just found an interest and went with it. So all these books were in this room. And the World Series was on a little black and white television. Pirates versus Orioles. And the image that captured me was Nelson Briles, a Pirates pitcher, flying off the mound on his throws. He would pitch, put so much effort into his pitches that he would land on his stomach limits. And that captured my attention. And that was the beginning of me falling in love with the 70s Pirates, who I would say for a decade were as exciting and fun to watch as maybe any team in the history of American sports. Yes, I'd go that far.
Wow, really? Even the Steelers of that same era?
Yeah. I mean, fun to watch, fun to follow, playing big games. I didn't say as successful, but as fun to watch as any team maybe ever for those 10 years. They were unbelievable. Even when they didn't win, they were win. God, if they had a wild card, they might have won 8 World Series.
Lumber company.
Everybody gets in now. Limits. It's participation trophies for everybody. 40% of the teams, 44 to be precise, get into the playoffs in the NFL, and we have to listen to Art Rooney tell us how successful the Steelers have been. It's really hard not to be in it.
God bless you.
God bless me. It's really hard not to be in it. And I'm not talking about in the playoffs, but like in the chase. When 44% of the teams get in, how many teams are in contention? Forget it. That's a different topic. I fell in love with the Pirates and sports in general. And all these years later, to me, it's sort of unbelievable that I'm in Pittsburgh, that, you know, I used to cover the Pirates, go over there and cover them. Now I talk about them. And it's just so crushingly disappointing what's happening right now. And I want to be excited. And this feeds into the bigger theme of where we are in Pittsburgh sports right now. Not a new theme. Every time I turn on the station, in fact, somebody's talking about it, sometimes me. But I don't think I've actually led the show with it. And now seems like the right time, given the fact that the football season's officially over, hockey's on break, Pirates sort of begin, what, tomorrow? And then Pitt basketball is in the midst of a slump right now. It's just the state of Pittsburgh sports was on my mind this morning. And I was thinking of what Bob Smizek told Jim Colony the other day. Bob Smizek, the legendary columnist, they were talking about when was the last time it was this bad around here. Ron would say the 1980s, mid-80s, I guess, with the Pittsburgh, the drug trials with the baseball team. The Steelers had fallen upon fairly hard times, although they did make the playoffs once in a while and had lots of non-losing seasons. That counts for something, right? The Penguins had Mario, which was Smizek's point. Smizek said, no, this is worse than that. Jim said that was really, really bad. Smizek said, not as bad as this. At least you had Mario, so you had hope. The Pirates had just hired Jimmy Leland in the late 1980s. There was a little bit of hope there. And the Steelers, you got to bask in the glow of the 70s dynasty for a long time. I mean, you had just had one of the great dynasties ever in American sports. So while it was bad, I'm not sugarcoating that, and I wasn't here at that time. I didn't get here till 89. Well, I guess I was here at that time, kind of, when things really started to turn for the better. This is worse, according to no less an authority than Bob Smizek. And I'm thinking about that this morning. I'm thinking about that, and I'm wondering how people are dealing with this. And here's what I would say about it. A couple of different things. This is a disaster. That's number one. Number two, in the industry I'm in, talking about sports, I'm not going to deny, you know, when they say on TV news, if it bleeds, it leads, right? Negative news is somehow what people are drawn to. I do hear that, and I know that. And if you ask me, you know, Is it better when the when the Steelers lose or win? Sometimes losing. But winning big is always better for business. And though I get accused of being negative, I want teams to win. I do. It's a better atmosphere to talk sports. Not to mention, and I'll be honest about this, it's better for the bottom line. We were 3 years on the air when the Pirates took over the city in 2013. We rose to the top of the ratings across the board. It was a great lesson in how teams associated with stations can lift the station. It's just undeniable. You don't think winning Stanley Cups helped the Penguins flagship and associated stations? You don't think the Steelers winning a Super Bowl or two may have helped? I mean, it's good for business. I want the Pirates to win. But here's the thing. I want everybody to win and win big. It makes it way more enjoyable. But at this moment, I don't know what the hell else to talk about. So if I sound negative every single day, can you blame me? What would you do in my position? I'm going to talk about Paul Skeens. I'm going to talk about what he might accomplish this year. I didn't need much to get me pumped for the Pirates. I got nothing in the offseason. I got Adam Frazier, for God's sakes. And Tommy, we are family. I mean, I'm still saying, did that really happen? Was that really their offseason? They're really going to spring? This is actually happening? Bring back Zach Duke and have him start the opener limits while we're at it.
Paul Maholm, I think, might be available.
Paul Maholm is available. So I don't know what else to do at the moment. If somebody out there can help me, it's negative times. It's dark times around here. I guess we just have to live through them. And my point always is yes, dark times lead to light, but they need to get real dark, I think. That's why I want the Penguins to continue this, to trade Raquel. Then I'll be on to the Kyle Dubas bandwagon. Trade him now, or at least after the Four Nations tournament. The Pirates have sunk to the bottom. I don't know what they did with it. That's the question. The Steelers need to. But here's the other thing, Limits, that's unbelievably galling about the times we're in. And this is really what I was thinking about this morning at 412-928-9370. This is what's really on my mind is that it's not just horrible sports times around here. The worst ever. Like you'd have to go back to the 60s for Bob Smizek, and he might be right. It's not just horrible, it's that every time you turn around, there's salt being poured in your wounds, in our wounds, by the biggest rivals in town. Like it would be bad enough if everybody sucked at once. What makes it just a little bit worse, or a whole lot worse, is when you look at what the rivals are doing all around us. Let's consider the Steelers first. Well, it's not that bad with the Steelers. They're making the playoffs. The Steelers haven't been competitive in a playoff game since 2016. The Steelers in the last 4 years, including their one-and-done catastrophic playoff defeats, are 38-32-1 with a minus 80-point differential. So please don't tell me about their success. But it's not just that they're failing every year miserably. It's that this year, especially, it came at the hands of the Baltimore Ravens in the end. And it didn't just come at the hands of the Ravens. It came in one of the most humiliating defensive performances in the history of a franchise with a very proud defensive tradition. Limits, can we hear Kirk Herbstreit in a moment? Because that also rubbed it in. The Ravens rushed for, 300 yards, the most ever against the Steelers in a playoff game. And this is what tens of millions of people heard on national television.
On Amazon.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half You're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
I mean, wow. I just can't hear that enough, and not I'm affected by it every time. It's not just that the Steelers' standard has slipped. It's that when you're down and knocked out, somebody's on top of you punching you in the face, and it's the Ravens. That happened. Then there's the cross-state team, the Eagles, showing the world how to build winning football teams right across the state. Used to be partnered with those guys. They were called the Steagles, city limits. Ron was their beat writer all those years ago. And now look at them. Then you look at the Penguins, and even as time wears on them, and you think, well, this is natural. You know, the same thing happens to all teams. Happened to the Kings, happened to the Blackhawks. It's happening to the Why isn't it happening to the Capitals? Wait a second. It's the Capitals of all teams who succeeded the Flyers as your main rival, in my mind, a long time ago, because you both were playing high-stakes hockey against each other all the time. The Capitals have figured this out, and not just figured it out. They're on a pace to win the President's Trophy with an aging Ovechkin, while the Penguins are sinking to the bottom, which, again, if you're going to do that, stay there. I get it. But my God, the Capitals figured this out and the Penguins didn't. That's what I mean here. It would be bad enough just on its own. But it's the Ravens and the Eagles and the Capitals. And that's not all. Then I look at the Pirates. And we have to see Pittsburgh native Terry Francona from Beaver County, one of Ron's favorites. If you want to choose any Ron clip to accompany this limits, I would love that. That's a good one. That's the right one. We have to watch that. Him go to the Reds? Limits.
That infuriated me.
I mean, every time you turn around, you think, I'd rather just be depressed, but now I'm depressed and livid on top of that, because it's the teams that you hate that are rubbing salt in your wounds, in their wounds, these franchises, these half-asleep owners. That's the thing. And it doesn't end there. Look at Pitt basketball. And I look at West Virginia went out and got a new coach, and they're good again. Pitt basketball is probably not going to make the NCAA tournament. Pitt left the Big East a long time ago. Guess who fared better? The Big East. UConn's winning national championships. Rick Pitino goes into St. John's and rebuilds them in a minute. They were a disaster. Everybody at Pitt, it feels like, oh, you got to be patient. It takes a long time. No, it shouldn't. It doesn't. Look at Pitino. Look at West Virginia with their new coach.
Look at Sean Miller and Xavier.
Look at Sean Miller and Xavier. And then Pitt football. Some of the same. I mean, West Virginia fired its coach. They're moving on because they were underachieving, although still doing just as good as Pitt. Penn State football makes the semifinals. I mean, every time you turn around, somebody's punching you right in the eyes. Did I ever tell you, Limits, that in the Adirondacks once I stepped on a sunfish and its eye popped out?
Did you try to put it back?
No, but it discouraged me from fishing after that. Every time you turn around, somebody's punching you in the face these days. That's the part that's really galling. It would be you know, pure suffering if all of our teams at once stunk, and they do. Various incarnations of stinking, I get it. But underachieving all at once, This is making it exponentially more painful. Penn State goes to the national semifinals. My God, even Penn State volleyball robbed Pitt of possibly national championship limits. Of all the things to have, like you could always fall back on, Pitt volleyball is really good. Like, they've become a national power, and they have. But of all the teams to beat them, like, it's painful enough to lose at that stage of the season every year. It reminds me of the Bills at one point. Like, they were doing great things, and I loved it, but they couldn't get over the hump. Yeah, okay, that's bad enough. Penn State wins it. Comes out of nowhere to win the national title.
And that was a team
I'm telling you, our heads are just getting dunked in vats. Our already bleeding heads are getting dunked in vats of salt.
I was at the match when Pitt absolutely obliterated Penn State at the Pete. Like, it wasn't close. And if that was the national championship, Pitt probably would have won. Like, Pitt is the better team, but couldn't get past Louisville, who they beat twice already. And Penn State has a miraculous reverse sweep to win in the semis and then beat a understaffed Louisville team.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere you look. And I am sorry for your losses. I really am. Honest to God, my condolences. Is it some sort of penance that you're paying in here because of all the winning that's happened over the years? I don't know, but this seems unusually cruel. It's unusually cruel that the Penguins have sunk to the bottom of the league while the Capitals, in the exact same position, haven't just been hanging around like, yeah, the Capitals, they're doing a little better job, it seems, of managing. No, no, no. They've risen to the top of the NHL. The Ravens were the team that ran for 300 yards on national television. 300. Even recency here. The Flyers are the last team to beat the Penguins. It's just everywhere. How are you coping with this? Like, the trite question to ask is who's going to win Pittsburgh's next champion? Who's going to be good? Who's going to be fun to watch next? Will it be the Pirates this year? Maybe just because of Skeens. Maybe Jared Jones. Maybe O'Neill Cruz finally sort of gets it and becomes a star. I don't know, Limits. It's just, where are you with this? You're a Pittsburgh sports fan. You more depressed or angry right now? And you hear what I'm saying, obviously. It's not just that you have that nice Pirates hat on. It's just not that teams are sinking to the bottom. Because that's, in some ways, for some teams, is the natural order of things. Like the Penguins.
Yeah.
They were great, and then they sunk. That's normal. The Pirates, they have... None. I was going to say one playoff series win since 1979. My bad. None since 1979. Are you more angry or livid right now when every time you turn around, it's one of your arch rivals kicking you in the gonads?
Depressed is also a very good word to describe it because...
What is the word?
Depressed.
Yeah.
Is a good way to describe it because when you think of depression... You'd think on the opposite side of that, you think of hope.
No. When I think of being depressed about something, my girlfriend just broke up with me. Okay? I'm at home. I'm in for a whole week.
I have no hope.
I'm showering in beer. I'm eating pizza. There's boxes all over the living room. This is that, plus the girlfriend showing up at your house every day to say hello, plus you looking out the window and seeing her and her new boyfriend leaving every day. That's the thing, Limits. This just isn't the classic, yeah, this sucks sort of thing. It's way worse than that.
And I think the anger and outrage, we're starting to see it, right? Where now fans are putting up billboards all over town. There's a Steeler billboard that's up now.
What does it say?
So Kevin Adams, he runs the terrible tailgate. You ever heard of that
no.
tailgate?
No, I like it, though.
So he put up a billboard that says, "The standard is mediocrity. Trade Tomlin or sell the team, Rooney. We've had enough." And it says, "Paid for by Kevin Adams" below it.
Kevin Adams. Was that a former hockey player? Or was that Craig Adams?
No, he's just a big Steeler fan that spends a lot of money at putting together tailgates.
So I don't know what this is.
People around the area and other neighboring cities whenever they travel on the road.
Well, God bless him. I don't know what this is, Limits. Perhaps it's a mental wellness check out there. At 412-928-9370. It may not have been this bad since the 1960s. Think about that for a second. That's according to Bob Smizek. And other than the mid to late 80s, there's no other candidate, really. I mean, this is as bad as it gets. And it can be challenging to go about this work every day and think, do people want to listen to just negativity every day? And if they don't, like the ratings suggest they do right now, but if they don't, then what? Like, what are all the positive things outside of Paul Skeens? What is happening that really has you juiced at the moment? And also, can we laugh? The old saying, if you're not going to cry, you might as well laugh. I don't know if that's the exact saying, Limits, but it's in that ballpark. Can we at least laugh? That's what I try to provide a little bit of on this show anyway. We at least have to be able to laugh at this, or else we'd spend the whole show crying. You'd be in tears for the whole show.
I would be. I'd be entirely in tears because the more you talk about it, the more angered I get and the more frustrated I get. But when I was talking about more so hope and feeling hopeless, I'm kind of hopeless right now that the Penguins are not going to turn this thing around for 5 minutes. You know, it's gonna take a while. It's going to take a couple years. The Steelers.
If it ever happens.
What makes you?
But let's be honest about the Penguins. There were two lightning strikes in this franchise's history. Really more than that, but two big ones. Two miraculous lightning strikes that saved this franchise. They could, maybe should be, going into like their 40th year as the Kansas City Penguins or some such thing. But they did an unbelievable job of tanking. The greatest tank job in the history of sports was Eddie Johnston. And how they did that in 83 and 84 and got Mario. That was lightning strike number one. And they almost didn't because they had the Devils competing with them. And they were losing pretty good, too. I think there was only a few points at the end separating those teams. And then Sidney Crosby on a 6.25% chance they win the lottery. Otherwise, I don't think they get an arena, and I think they're gone again. So there's no guarantee that going through a rebuild without having a lightning strike happen again that they're ever going to get out of this. I don't know. Do you trust Kyle Dubas?
Not right now. Not yet. After giving Tristan Jarry and Ryan Graves big contracts.
When has he rebuilt a franchise with draft picks? He walked into to Toronto and all the major moves were already made there. They only needed a goalie and he never got it fixed.
And they still never got over the hump.
Right. So that's the way to go, but that's no guarantee. And then with the Pirates, that just keeps on going and going and going and going and going. And even now, it feels like they have a tiny little window with a great superstar generational pitcher, and they don't appear to even be half interested on capitalizing on that very small window. It's borderline incredible. And you could say, well, where have you been? Maybe, what's his name? Aaron in Uniontown could call me up and say, what, are you just realizing this? No, I'm not, but I'll tell you, honestly, I'm surprised that it's been this bad this offseason. Even last offseason, they made a very notable move by spending $10 million, which is a penny, but a lot for them, on Aroldis Chapman. This offseason, nothing. And it wouldn't have taken anything. For people to get pumped. Like Jock Peterson would have everybody, you know, waving flags on the Clemente Bridge for the opener. But instead, we literally got nothing. And then the Steelers are like the high-end Pirates right now. Just sort of humming along. The Pirates a little below 500. You can feel that is going to be sort of the nest they live in for a while. And the Steelers are purring along at just above 500. Again, in the last 4 years, they're including the catastrophic playoff defeats, they're 38-32-1 with a minus 80 point differential. So they're humming along in their little world of mediocrity with the team owner asleep at the wheel. And the Pirates are humming along below 500 and probably feel like, hey, in this division, we can stay in it at right below 500 or at 500 or a few games over. And they're probably right. They're probably banking on that. We'll keep everybody satisfied by being in the hunt. Hard not to be in the hunt in that division, although the Cubs have been an interesting team in this offseason. That's all I got, Limits.
They've spent half the amount of money this offseason that they spent last offseason.
It's unreal.
Think about that.
That's why I'm very surprised. Is the internet down, Limits, or is it working for you?
It's working for me.
Well, why isn't it working for me?
I don't know, but the texters are very upset about this thing. They're very upset.
Well, why don't we hear from the texters, and I want to talk about this with you. And I want to really be clear, because sometimes in this industry, it's like this guy or this these people are taking pleasure in this pain. I am not. Sometimes I have to laugh at it. I think we all do. I want teams to be great. It was incredible when the station first came on the air a million years ago when the Steelers went to the Super Bowl in our first full year on the air. That was great, man. I mean, when we are winning, it's an unbelievable sports town, and we should be winning in at least a couple sports. This shouldn't have happened like this. Like I said, when the Pirates won in 2013, oh my God. It was like Mardi Gras around here. And great for business at the station, I'll tell you that much. When Pitt wins, when Pitt basketball's winning, like they were in the early 2000s, it's just a better sports town. And you don't think I'd love to talk about the Penguins down the stretch having a chance to win here? We got years of that. And like I said, it's that sort of, especially with them, the natural order of things that when you're on top like that, fairly recently, you're gonna then scrape bottom. So I would urge them to be there. But where's everybody else picking up the slack right now?
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Limits. You're so kind. This is depressing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to come on every day and be depressing. I try to add in humor. So does Bob. We try to have provocative, the right word? Topics.
Provocative might be
evocative
correct.
Talk?
I don't
know
think that's a word.
No.
At least you're not giving toxic positivity to everybody.
No. See, that's the thing. That's the thing that people don't want. People are way too smart for that. They really are. The toxic positivity thing is what nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear Russell Wilson say that everything's okay. In fact, it's going great. Again, do we have the Russell clip? This was after the Steelers got railroaded by the Ravens in a playoff game, and his future is completely uncertain. It was the most embarrassing loss anybody can remember. Well, except until last year's loss in the playoffs, or the year before that, or maybe 2 years before that. Everything's blowing up. Nobody wants to hear this when everything's blowing up.
I think that it's an exciting time. I think obviously to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and the opportunity of what we can do.
Thanks.
What can we do, Russ?
That's not what I'm going to say here, is that it's an exciting time. But I can provide a forum for you to express your feelings, perhaps to cry live on air or rage. Or even laugh maniacally like Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. Did you see that movie?
No.
I'm surprised by that.
I need to watch more movies. If, you know, maybe I have to get out. Maybe I have to stay inside more often. Maybe. I get outside a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I need to stay in and watch some movies.
I was captivated by it. Did he win an Academy Award for that?
Honestly, I think so.
And he was
it
incredible.
Won some type of award.
Amazing acting performance. I don't even know why I brought it up. Oh, laughing maniacally. Yeah. He had that laugh down pat. Before we get to the phones, tell me what they're saying on the text line limits.
Yeah, the text line is kind of...
Because the theme of this is not just that all of our teams are losing at once and it's the worst time since the 1960s, maybe. It's that your very rivals are doing things that are making it exponentially worse, whether that's Penn State getting to the Final Four, whether it's Penn State volleyball winning in a year where Pitt was the favorite. It's the Ravens embarrassing you on national TV. It's the Eagles across the state being the team you want to be. It's the Reds signing Pittsburgh native Terry Francona to be their manager. What did I miss? It's everything like that. It's the Capitals mastering the rebuild thing, the semi-rebuild thing, and rising to the top of the league. What do the texters say?
And it's Cincinnati and Baltimore having franchise quarterbacks for the next 10-plus years.
It's everything, Limits. It's everything.
Texter says, Steeler fan since the 70s. It's been a long time since I've been jealous of the Eagles and Philadelphia, but that team has come in the last few years, and that's where I am. Pretty fascinating. I found this interesting. This texter said, I had the fan on in my office all day. A couple of weeks ago, I was jumping on a Teams meeting and forgot to turn the radio off. One of the participants heard the radio and said, why are you listening to sports talk in Pittsburgh? That's not a sports town anymore.
Ooh.
The whole country is making fun of us, the texter said. That's, wow.
That cuts to it. And again, that Kirk Herbstreit thing. Really, really. Do you think Art has even heard that?
Yes, but I think he probably doesn't think much of it.
Do you think we've talked about it enough that it appeared like they were quitting on Tomlin in that game?
I do really wonder, like internally, if they view the outside perspective of everything just being okay. Like if they just are so linearly focused on what they do and blocking out the outside noise, if they realize the issues in their own building.
Yeah.
I question that. Like if they can truly view it from an, like if they need a consultant to come in and say, all right, we have not won a playoff game in 8 years. What do you think is the reasoning for that? Because clearly they don't think what they're doing is an issue.
What else are they saying?
One of the texters said, I say we laugh and just make jokes until they are winners again. Somebody else says...
Who might be laughing a while then.
Somebody else says, it hurts too much to laugh and I'm too old to cry. Jim in Vermont.
Oh, Jim.
Poor Jim.
Is that Jim Colony? Isn't he from New Hampshire or Vermont?
Right around that area.
Let's go to the lines limits.
Last texter said, Pittsburgh sports is so bad right now that I'm looking forward to the start of NASCAR. How about that? The Daytona 500's next weekend.
That really hurts. I mean, the part about people around the country looking at Pittsburgh sports right now, that really sucks. And it begins with the Steelers, because that's obviously the highest profile sport. It begins with them. Although, you still have people like Michael Silver voting Mike Tomlin third in Coach of the Year. Third. He did the third. According to Michael Silver, Tony Dungy, and a couple of others who I forget, Mike Tomlin did the third best coaching job in the NFL this season. These people are as deluded as Art. Go ahead.
All right, let's go to Matt in Lancaster. It's a very special day for Matt. Happy birthday, Matt.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Hey, Jim. I had to call because I turned 40 today. It's a big day, but your opening soliloquy just got me going, and like I have to just unload if you give me a minute here.
Please, it's your birthday. So, you can do anything you want.
So back to what that one texter said. So I've lived out in Lancaster for about since like 2007. Grew up about an hour outside of Pittsburgh. When I first moved out here, people hated all of our teams would be, you know, the Pens were in their starting up their glory. The Steelers were winning Super Bowls, even when the Pirates got good. And now, like, people, again, just laugh or they feel sorry for me. Like I'm like a, you know, a stray dog on the side of the road.
Oh my God. And I wasn't even thinking of it along those lines, Limits. That's worse than people laughing at you, is people not caring about Pittsburgh sports teams. Like they're irrelevant or, oh, it'll be okay. No, nobody wants to hear that. It'll be okay. But go ahead.
Yeah. And then I just wanted to make one quick point about like each of our teams. So I'll start with the, you know, the least common denominator here, the worst of the worst, the Pirates. I'm just tired of every year Ben Cherington sifting through the dumpster and going to sleepaway camp at the winter meetings with a $20 bill from Dad to spend. I'm tired of seeing the cardboard cutout of Wally the Green Monster up in the Penguins owner's box. And I'm just tired of, after the draft for the Steelers.
Wait, did you get that, Limits?
Yeah, I think that the mascot of the Red Sox, the guy from the that walks around by Fenway Park, I think that's what he's referring to.
Oh, okay.
Is that right, Matt?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're owned by Fenway. And that's all. Like, there's nobody there. It's just a cardboard cutout of the mascot.
Matt Venzel of the Post-Gazette made sure to tell me that Teddy Werner is there every day. And my response to him was, good for him. Nobody cares. But go ahead.
And lastly, for our dear Steelers, I'm tired of every year after the draft, you get your picture. You guys get the pictures of their jersey. And then, as you always say, Joe, they go next door and they get fitted for their training wheels and their onesies to be kept on for the next 5 years. So we might as well name the Steelers the Pittsburgh Tomlins at this point and just be done with it.
Other than that, you're feeling great on your birthday, yes?
Oh, I'm feeling great. And I have two kids, a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. And I'm just like getting to the point where I'm like, how long is it going to be until I can sit and watch meaningful games with them? They've never known anything.
Here's the other point I want to drive home. And now I don't remember where I saw it. Was it James Harrison? Maybe. I don't want to implicate him here if he doesn't deserve to be implicated. Who says that Steelers fans are spoiled. Did you hear that quote or see that quote, Limits? Who did that come from?
It was either Harrison or Porter. I think it was Harrison.
I think it might have been Porter. Happy birthday, sir. Go enjoy your birthday.
Thank you, guys.
That would really gall me.
It was Joey Porter Sr.
Spoiled by what? Past successes from many, many, many years ago?
Let's find out.
The fan base is going to be the fan base because they're spoiled. You don't want to lose Coach Tom and then realize that you had a great one. Yeah. It's a reason why that franchise only had three coaches.
Yes. Yeah.
Noel, Cowher, Tomlin. And it's a reason why, because when you're preaching the same message and everybody that comes through there, like, we're looking for people that fit the Steeler brand.
And that was at Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Spoiled.
Yeah. Joey, here's what I would say to you, my friend, is that the Steelers in – how long did Joey Porter play here? Can you look that up for me, Limits? Was it more than 8 years?
I don't think so. I think it was right 6 or 7.
First thing I would tell Joey Porter is it's been 8 years in a row, 8 years that the Steelers have not been competitive in a playoff game. Not been competitive. I would tell Joey that in the last four, and that's a long time, man.
It was 8 years with the Steelers.
8 years. So here's how I'd phrase it. And I love Joey Porter Sr. I'd say, Joey, imagine if you went your whole career, 8 years, your whole career, and were not even competitive in a playoff game one time. We're not talking about a handful. If it was 2 years, you know, if people were bitching and moaning and wanting to get Tomlin out of town in 2012, I would have been with you. We just went to a Super Bowl. This is good. They win. Just won 12 games again. Yeah, they lost to Tebow. That's life. We're like a generation later. So if you had gone your whole career and missed the playoffs 3 times in 8 years, which is 37% of the time, and then the times you made it were disregarded as a one and done and blown out every single time, including Jacksonville. Somebody brought this up. Oh, you say all the time they weren't competitive. What about that Jacksonville game? That was 45-42 because Tomlin put lipstick on a pig late by unbelievably mismanaging the clock when the Steelers were on a drive, down 10 in desperation mode. He let it go down to 1 second. Juju caught a touchdown pass with 1 second left. At some point, you have to kick a field goal and then give yourself a chance with a Hail Mary. Instead, he took the clock to 1 second when they scored to make it 45-42. So your only hope then is an onside kick that you pick up and run in for a touchdown. Forget it. Forget it. That's what I would tell Joey Porter. Imagine your whole career going like that. Imagine going for 4 years of your career where if you include the blowout playoff losses, you would have gone 38-32-1 without being competitive in a playoff game. Would that have been good enough for you, Joey Porter? Forget about the, quote, spoiled Steeler fans. How would you have felt about your career? Would it have been any solace to you that the Steelers had success way before that? I don't think so. I think you would have looked at that career, at least from a team perspective, and said, we didn't do a damn thing. So don't tell Steelers fans that they're spoiled. It's not if we don't win the Super Bowl, we suck. It's are we ever even going to be competitive in a playoff game again? Hasn't been 2 or 5 years. We're going on a decade. At what point will you say, yeah, people do have a point? They have a right to be angry. It's just mass delusion.
Well, do you expect Joey Porter Jr. to just come out and trash Tomlin, the guy that drafted his son, the guy that gave him a spot on the coaching staff?
What's your point? I don't know what your point is there.
I don't understand.
So he shouldn't be criticized for saying it?
No, he should be criticized for saying it. But what I'm
saying is,
other
Steelers have come out and ripped Tomlin. Ryan Clark has said it's time to move along. Other guys have done it. By the way, Joey Porter got fired here,
right,
by Tomlin.
And they should be ripping Tomlin.
I expect Joey Porter Senior to tell what's true. That's what he used to do.
I would think Joey Porter Junior or Joey Porter Senior, instead of just coming out and just bashing the fan base, would just kind of stay out of it. It's kind of
that
what
would
I,
have been
I thought
an option
he'd do
too. I don't think you people want to hear that you're spoiled, and I don't think you are. And I'm sick and tired of 25 other teams would love to do what the Steelers do. Well, let's think about that for a second. They would love, if I told the Arizona Cardinals, I don't know, I forget who their GM is. If I told the Bidwell family, hey, here's your next 8 years mapped out. You're going to make the playoffs 5 of those 8 years, and every single time you're going to get your asses handed to you. You think he'd be jumping for joy? If I told the idiot running the Jets, what's his name, Woody Johnson?
That's right. With his son playing Madden to determine decisions. That's how they know they're moving off Aaron Rodgers. The simulator said, no more A-Rod. 4 MVPs isn't good enough. He's got to go.
If I said, Woody, your next 8 years, which last I checked is almost a decade, and you'll be like 90 by then. Your next 8 years, you're going to make the playoffs 5 out of 8, which means you'll miss 3, which is almost half the time. And when you do make the playoffs, you're going to get absolutely hammered. Like, oh, I'll compare it to games like, remember the Steelers game where Travis Kelce was throwing touchdown passes against them and the whole nation was laughing? Where they could have beaten him 80-14. I forget what the score was. Or Josh Allen toying with them. Or the Ravens running for 300 yards. Or Blake Bortles tearing through them for 40 points. That's what it'll look like for you for the next 8 years. You signing up, you'll be happy with that? Hell no. So don't tell me that 25 teams would love to be doing what the Steelers are doing. Would they love to get back to the playoffs for a year? Sure. Even if they got hammered in a playoff game. 8 years is a long time. Nobody's signing up for that. They're not. Give me another crap team. If I told the Raiders, hey, who just hired Pete Carroll, which to me signifies that it's sort of win now, since he's the oldest coach in NFL history. Hey, over the next 4 years, you guys will be 38-32-1. You won't win a division, You'll sneak into the playoffs maybe three of those 4 years, and you'll get blown off the field. You think Pete Carroll's like, where do I sign in blood for that? That sounds great. I'm sick and tired of this. Sick and tired of Tomlin will be hired in 5 minutes if he leaves. I know he would. It's true. He's got a good track record overall. He's been certainly above the mean for his career. But that ignores the fact that Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Nick Sirianni, Dan Quinn, Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, Sean Payton, Matt LaFleur, John Harbaugh, maybe Sean McDermott, all of those guys would be hired in 5 minutes too. So how special really is that? And a lot of them will be hired over Tomlin because they specialize on the offensive side of the ball. It just gets very, very tiresome. And even though I don't really have a dog in the fight here,